This morning I want to turn to a familiar passage and turn, if you would, with me to Psalm 1, the first psalm. We now go from our Rejoice Hymns hymnal, we now go to the Hebrew hymnal. I don't think we think of the book of Psalms that way, but we should. This is indeed what they sang when they came together. These were the words that the Hebrews sang, not only in the temple, but later in the synagogue. They would turn to these and sing them together in a very different way than we just completed singing with instruments. They often sang these a cappella, and that is in an unaccompanied manner. They did not have the extensive musical expressions that we have today, but their singing is beautiful. It was done much more like much more like a chant almost than we would sing. It was very Jewish in its flavor. Many of these psalms that they sang were somber and serious. Some of them, though, were just the joy that you might see in, say, the fiddler on the roof or other expressions of Jewish life that you may have seen in the entertainment world. This particular psalm begins and sets the tone for the entire book. Psalm is 150. It's the biggest book in our Bible, Old or New Testament. It shows us, does it not, the importance that God places upon music. God's greatest joy is to hear the only instrument he created, that is the human voice, to give expression to himself. Far too often, we want to make our singing based on what we like instead of understanding that our music is to bring joy to the one who created us so that we might bring him pleasure and glorify his name. This morning, I would like for us to stand and read together the first psalm. Would you stand with me out of respect for God's word, please? And let's read it together, all six verses. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shall we pray? Father, we ask now thy blessing upon this consideration together of your word. Strengthen us together in this time that we spend. By the work of your Holy Spirit, draw our attention to the truth. And Lord, convict our hearts of things that need to change. Encourage our hearts with things that you are doing. And challenge us, Lord, to live in a manner consistent with the truth of this wonderful psalm. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is the first psalm, and yet its first word of the first psalm sets the whole tone for the entire book. The word is blessed. Now, many of you who have studied the scripture know that the book of Psalms is divided into five books. It is a Hebrew Psalter that is divided into five books. Each book, it does not have the same number of psalms in it. It's not really correct to say Psalm chapter 23. It'd be like turning in our hymn book this morning and Trent didn't say turn to chapter 105. He said turn to hymn 105. So we turn to the psalms. We turn to Psalm 1 or Psalm 23 or Psalm 119, Psalm 121. And these familiar psalms have blessed our soul. Now, as we look at the book of Psalms, I think it would do us well, just a brief survey. Forgive the teacher in me. I love to teach, and when I preach, I always want to give you content that you may not have walked in with. And if we do that, it'll be a blessing to your heart if it's consistent from God's word. The first book of Psalms is Psalms 1 to 41. Would you turn with me, put a marker in Psalm 1. We'll be coming back there. And turn with me to Psalm 41. I want to show you something as we're going to walk through five of these psalms very quickly, okay? Psalm 41. Look with me at the last verse of Psalm 41. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. That is a doxology, folks. That is an expression of praise. The word doxology means a word of glory. That's literally what he's expressing here as he ends the first of the books of the division of the five divisions of the book of Psalms. It ends in a doxology. Would you go with me now to the end of the second book, which the second book runs from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. Psalm 42 to, go to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. And we'll look at the last three verses here. Psalm 72, verses 18 to 20. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. This is also a doxology. The second book of the Psalms, Psalm 43 to Psalm 72, 42 to 72, ends also in a doxology. The third book is the shortest of them, and it runs from 73 to 89. So let's go to Psalm 89 and see if this pattern continues. Psalm 89. We see at the end of Psalm 89 just a single verse, the last verse, verse 52 of Psalm 89. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. So we are three for three. At the end of each of the first three books of the Psalms, we have a doxology, a word of praise. The fourth book is Psalm 90 to 106. So let's go to Psalm 106, if we would. Psalm 106. By the way, it's one of the most blessed sounds that a pastor hears is the turning of Bible pages. Now, most of you probably observed, know that I use a tablet because I have my Logos Bible software there. And there are a lot of times that I love to plow into words that are being preached and just go deeper. And it's one of the drawbacks is that we don't hear the blessed turning of pages with a tablet. But I have every regard for those who use them, and I appreciate. I notice some of you are sitting here this morning, you're reading your scripture from your phones. I hope you do that on more than just Sunday morning. That's fine. I really don't have a problem with the form of scripture. It's the truth of scripture that transforms lives. We get to the end of Psalm 106, and what do we find there in verse 48? You've already looked. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, oh, some of you are paying attention. Amen. And praise ye the Lord. You're starting to note the pattern. We've got four books and four doxologies. Go to the last one. What will we expect to see at the end of Psalm 150? Psalm 150. The entire psalm, all six verses of Psalm 150 form a wonderful completing doxology. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So all five divisions of the book of Psalms end in doxologies, all of them aimed at bringing a word of praise and glory to our God. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time you, from your own lips, spontaneously brought forth a doxology? Oh, we love to sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. But most of the time we live life, you know, kind of on a crutch, leaning, oh, Lord, this is so hard. You know, this past week we came through heat. It was warm. I just thank the Lord for getting us ready for South Carolina. It had to be a wonderful preparation, I figure. But some of you are just, you can't wait until the snow plows run again. And I say, blessings on you. I don't look, you know, the funny, it's going to be funny down there. And I know I've talked to my kids and I've talked to the Dingledines, other kids who are down there. And they say it's funny in the South when it snows because the people down there, they think they can get out and drive just like they do the rest of the time, like crazy people. And they get on that snow and they have all kinds of fun. But I'm really not going to miss it that much. If I see snow once or more, two more times in my life, I'll be very content. Now, some of you just love the cold weather. But whether cold or hot, the weather changes. And we always can find something to complain about. When was the last time we found something to rejoice in? When was the last time we found something to praise God for? Do we understand that he is always at work? And that he, the God whom we have blessed with our lips in praise, as we come here on Sunday morning, Trent referenced that earlier, that we come together to be strengthened as a body of Christ. When was the last time we spontaneously, not on a Sunday, it's wonderful on a Sunday to do it with God's people, but on the Tuesday right after lunch, when we found something to praise God for? You see, folks, when we do that, that's called being a witness. That's called sharing our faith in a genuine, daily manner. And the God whom we bless, according to verse 1, longs to bless us. Do you see this? Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man. Now, ladies, don't feel left out. This is a generic use of the term. Blessed is the person. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the young child. Blessed is the young man, young lady. Blessed is the wife, the husband, the father, the mother, the grandfather who makes these choices. I want you to see very carefully as David unfolds this psalm for us. We think that it's probably a psalm of David. We don't know. The title isn't given to us that way. But we suspicion that based on its structure, it may very well be. And as we find this, we find that the psalmist lays out for us right at the beginning of the book of Psalms that life is a choice. And often the first choice we need to make is the negative one. Do you see that? Blessed is the man who walketh not. Now, some people say, oh, I don't like negative people. I don't like negative things. You know, let's be all positive. Now, folks, being positive is wonderful. But, you know, my undergrad degree is in broadcast engineering. And one of the things I learned in electronics and working with electricity is that you've got no current flow until you have both a negative and a positive. You've got to have a ground, which we often refer to as the negative, and you've got to have a source of electrons. And the current will flow only when you have both, folks. And the very first choice that we have to make as sinners living on this sin-cursed earth is about what it is we are not going to be involved with. And the author of this psalm gives to us the realities of living in a sinful world. There are three steps that we must not take. And do you see the progress? Let's point them out. Blessed is the man that walketh not, first of all, in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice the first one is to walk. The idea is to move in a given direction. It is the way, the word way used later in the last verse, the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly, and the contrast that is drawn here. This idea of walking is to travel. Blessed is the one who does not travel in the counsel. And this word counsel is the idea of advice or strategy. And the advice or strategy of the ungodly, the wicked. This is the one who walks about with a sense of condemnation. They are guilty. Now, how many of us are born that way? Well, Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 of Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the reality is that you and I are all born as sinners. We are all deserving of the condemnation of God that is upon us. We are all separated from God by our sin. We are all guilty. And so it is as the world is defined and described. The world is defined as people, the majority of whom are guilty before God and who are separated by their sin from God and who someday will be condemned by God. You may sit here this morning and say, oh, Pastor Tillman, that's very judgmental of you to say the majority of this world is lost and going to hell. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he said about the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way is many that be, there go thereby, the path that leads to death and destruction. The narrow way, few there be that go the way to life everlasting. Folks, there is a great need in this world for us to be witnesses. But the psalmist here is laying out for us that we do, while we live in the world, and while we go to the world, and while we befriend them as co-workers and neighbors, we do not live in a manner consistent with their philosophies and their counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice what happens when you do. The next thing, the next place you'll find yourself is standing in the way of sinners. This word standing literally means to remain, to stay. Now you're no longer walking down the sidewalk or the trail with them. You are rather standing with them. And now you are no longer simply listening to their counsel. Now you are in the journey. You are standing in the way of sinners. This is a place of identification. This is a place that the way of sinners is the journey where they go to make the same trip. So it reinforces the idea here that is going on. It's way of sinners. The word sinner is the offender of the law. Notice the third one. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. First we were walking, then we were standing, and now we're sitting. This word sitting is to join in their dwelling. It's the same word that in other places in the Old Testament even carries with it the idea of to enter into agreement with, to marry. And that it is translated that way in the Old Testament. That as Christians, if we want to know the blessing of God, if we want to experience the joy that he longs to pour out upon you as a Christian of a clear conscience and the joy of the Lord, you need to make a choice not to join in this level of participation with the world. This morning I speak to Christian young people and to young adults. Be careful in your life choices. Oh, it may not be cool to take a stand. It may not be the end thing in your crowd to say, you know what? I'm going to do what God asked me to do. And I'm only going to date those who are Christians, who have a clear testimony. I'm only going to court those who are going to encourage me in my Christian walk because of their Christian walk. And I pray that God will give us Christian young people who are willing to be patient and let God provide. I've got a nephew this morning who is serving in church ministry in Manhattan this morning, New York City. And he is a young man, 25 years old now, and still unmarried. He has been ordained to gospel ministry. He's finishing up his Master of Divinity degree over the next year and a half, Lord willing. And he is looking for a wife. And we encouraged him to just be faithful and let the Lord provide, because he will. He's got somebody very special. And so this whole first verse is about these choices that we make in life. And it starts with making the choices of what we are not going to do. And folks, sometimes you have to make the choices about what you're not going to do so that you have time to do the things that you are going to do. Because that's where he goes next. Before I go there, let me point out one more thing. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This word scornful is a rich word, and it literally means to speak a language that is not spoken in that country. If you go all the way to the root, it has to do with the idea of that we as children of God are walking toward heaven, and we are looking forward to our eternal home. And we do not speak this language. But when we sit in the seat of the scornful, if we do not make the right choice and we end there sitting, we end up speaking their language, mocking God. Perfect example happened here a couple of weeks ago when Bill Nye, the science guy, stopped by the Ark Encounter out in Kentucky. And Bill Nye, the science guy, wanted, so Ken Ham said, oh, sure, come. We'd love to show you. Love to show you what God is doing here. And Bill Nye, the science guy, took a tour all the way through the Ark and the museum and everything. And when he got out, he is quoted as having said, boy, did they ever get it wrong. There's terrible science in that place, he said. Well, folks, let me tell you what. Bill Nye, the science guy, as I understand it, in his present condition, would qualify as being in the seat of the scornful. He's wrong. You know how I know he's wrong? Because God's word says he's wrong. I don't need any other authority. You see, as we open God's word, Genesis says that there was a worldwide flood. Jesus referred to Noah and spoke of him and his teaching as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the coming of the days. These are not simple Jewish oral myths. This is the truth. And the scorners are many in this world. And young people and young adults and adults, you should expect scorners to mock the word of God. And we live in a culture that is increasingly hostile to Christianity and to our faith. We should expect that. You know why? Because Jesus said to expect it. He said, they hated me and they will hate you. We have lived for so long and had it so well in this country that now when we begin to see some of the first signs, some of the early evidences of the turning of this culture from a blessed culture to a scornful culture, we want to run and hide. And God says, don't run and hide. Just stand for truth and do what's right. Don't participate in the way they think, but minister to them. based on the next verse. Look at verse 2. This is wonderful because this is the whole turning point of the psalm. Notice that first word of verse 2, but. That's a contrast and conjunction. That means what comes after it is different than that which was before. But his delight, the blessed man's delight, is where? It is in the law of the Lord. And this could refer literally to the whole of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And I ask you a very personal question. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when was the last time that you delighted in opening the Word of God? A lot of times, you know, we talk about having personal times with God. We talk about having God and I time. We talk about having devotions. We talk about our prayer closet. When was the last time that we longed to open this book and to find in it the lover of our soul? When was the last time that we heard his voice in every line and we made each faithful saying, mine? If you are lacking the power to live the Christian life, it is right here in verse 2 of the first psalm. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. The psalmist is not talking about a pointy-headed academic who simply lives to count the number of angels that can stand on the head of a pen or to be able to exegete some minor point from the ancient languages. No, he's talking about someone who thinks about the Word of God. Now, I want you to think very carefully. Because we begin this message this morning by talking about a couple of the different forms that we have of the Word of God. We happen to have it today in a book. Before this, they had it in scrolls. Can you imagine carrying them to church? You know, here, I mean, they're huge. The scrolls are large, and they, you know, you'd have to, or even before that, here comes Moses off the mountain, and he's got what? Tablets of stone. Today, we've got it here in digital form. We can carry it around in our phone. You can put it on an iPod, if you still have one of those, and listen to it in MP3. You can put it on your phone and listen to it. You can put it on your tablet and listen to it in digital form. But I want you to go back to an idea that in the temple, none of the people who came in the synagogue, none of the people who came to the synagogue carried with them a copy of the scripture. Not a single one. The scripture would be removed in the synagogue from something called the ark, and it would be laid on the table, which was about 5 feet square. And they would lay the scripture out, and the people who came to worship would listen to the reading of the Word of God, and they would memorize it as it was being read, because that was the only exposure they had to the Word of God all week long, to hear its words read to them. And they had to walk out trying to remember the scripture. And as they did, they would meditate on it day and night. Folks, this morning we have sung a whole series of songs about the love for our God. And well, we should. And Mrs. Glass sang a beautiful solo this morning, speaking of our love for our God. Well, folks, this is the written word. Jesus Christ is the living word. Through the written word, we hear his voice. By the living word, we have salvation and do rejoice. This morning, I ask you, what choices are you making in life? Have you made the choice to not walk in the way of the world? Are you making the choice to walk with God? Are you making it because the end? And I will not walk through all of the other wonderful truths of the first psalm except to go to the last verse. Would you go there? For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. That's those who meditate in his word day and night. You want to know what's going to give you the strength to walk the Christian life? You must do that. And when you do that, your way will become evident. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Folks, these last 2 weeks, we've seen a lot of shenanigans in the political conventions. We have seen a lot of political theater. We've heard a lot of theater drummed up by the news media. But more than anything else, as a pastor, I have my ear to the ground listening for the scorners, for those who mock the way of God, for those who want to practice and legitimize sin and wickedness. Folks, we see that, don't we? We hear it. You need to understand that God has called us as believers, people of faith, to stand for truth, to demonstrate that we love our God. And we love to think about him. We love to talk about him. We love to make choices consistent with who he is so that he might be glorified in our lives because we love him. And if you love him, that means there are some things you're not going to love. Your way of life and the choices that you make determine the outcome. Now, God's grace is the one that gives you salvation. But folks, even as a Christian, you are making choices that will determine their consequences will determine where your life ends as you stand before God and give account. I'm not talking about whether or not you're saved. I'm talking about whether or not you're rewarded. And as a believer this morning, are you going to stand in the face of increasing opposition in a world that's increasingly hostile? Will we remain faithful until he calls us home?